Yeah, good morning and welcome to Wednesday, June 23. It is great to have your company. I hope we find you well. If you want to be part of the program, call us now. 133353 is the telephone number. There is something for everyone, but right now being Wednesday, where is he? Where is he? There he is.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
I thought somebody had hijacked your opening theme there, Rod Hanafy, for a moment there. I couldn't find it. G'day, how are you?
Good, mate, good. And yeah, poor C.W. McCall would have been gobsmacked.
C.W., very good, very good. 10-4, rubber ducky. Rod Hanafy talks transport, road safety, road conditions every Wednesday. Rod is the national president of the Road Freighters Association. And it's good to talk to you, buddy. How you been, all right?
I have been well, yes. I've got another week to go and I can start actually doing weights for my shoulder.
Yeah, your shoulder operation.
I had physio yesterday and she said that seems to be going along well. So looking forward to that improving and a little bit of an ache there, I suppose, but that's about all. Yeah. Getting there well.
Yeah, it's not my whole body, mate. Don't you worry about that. Rod Hanafy is with us. If you've got a road safety question for Rod, if you have a road trucking issue, and you don't have to be a truckie or a truckette, we all share the roads. If you have a road issue with Rod Hanafy, if there's something you'd like to bring to his attention, if there's something you think that he needs to fight for, that's what he's here for. But you have to ring right now. He's not here for a hell of a long time. He's got to get some sleep. Mind you, he's got nothing to do all day except whinge about his shoulder. But if you want to talk to Rod Hanafy, 133353, you can phone through right now. Rod, there's been a change of leadership with the Labor Party in New South Wales. Chris Minns is his name. Mm-hmm. And he's hit the ground running, going for an old favourite. I don't know this bloke at all, and maybe he does feel genuinely passionate about this, but he's picked up a topic that he knows he'll get a lot of support for. And he wants the reintroduction of warning signs for mobile speed cameras. The amount of fines and the amount of people who have been caught since they've done away with these warning signs has gone up tenfold, and it's creating a hell of a lot of revenue. I can't see the government reintroducing them and losing that money. But Mr. Minns has said, okay, I don't believe it actually stops people from speeding. I don't believe it saves lives and it's costing people their livelihoods. He's on an old favourite here. He's on a win to nothing. Does he have a point? What do you make of this, Rod? Good morning.
Mate, one of the things that I've said, they did call for submissions to an inquiry on this. Everyone was offered a chance to have a view, and I did write into it. And one of the things I suggested was that in the past, there were more police on the road. And I fear that in some way now, they are replacing those police on the road with the cameras. Now, as you say, years ago, you saw a copy, you slowed down, you did the right thing. It's the same as any avenue. You see something that is a physical reminder. But if you get a ticket because you didn't see it, it's after the event, is it going to be as effective? And yes, they say the money goes back into road safety, but I would like to see how much of it does and whether this windfall is actually going back into road safety projects or whether they're pocketing it all.
Let me tell you this. The number of motorists being stung with speeding fines, I said this, it's soared, and Rod, it's soared by 1,500% after they took away the warning signs. Fines handed out to drivers travelling less than 10 kilometres an hour over the speed limit, Rod, that's less than 10, with 27,760 tickets given out last March alone. Less than 2,000 drivers a month were hit with the $123 fine before the removal of the signs. 27,760 in March alone. Wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And as
or
you say,
are people just stupid?
Look, none of us are perfect. We know that most of the car speedos are slow, and we discussed that last week, that they are there in theory to protect you. Because obviously, if you were deemed to be doing 60 on your speedo and 65 and you got a ticket, well, you'd go back to the manufacturer and say, hey, this is your fault. There is certainly the avenue now where people are looking more at their surroundings, and that's what they're supposed to be doing instead of just watching the speedo. It is a limit. Yes, we know it's designed with the best of intent, but we also know that many of our laws are designed by people who don't have to live by them. And it's one of the things I wanted to raise with you, mate. There is a group starting up called Highway Advocates. Now, I'm sure that you've seen things on the internet about getting tickets reviewed and all of those sorts of things. There are certainly those who have argued against some of these speed camera tickets. But as an industry, the trucking industry doesn't have that many who've been there for us. We've discussed how blokes get tickets that they don't believe to be fair and just, let alone reasonable. And this new group starting up called Highway Advocates is a bloke who's an ex-driver and a legal fellow, and they are going to look only at transport law. They have certainly helped a number of drivers already. I'm taking some advice from them at the moment, and they are there to help truckies who believe that they've been unfairly or unjustly fined. And, mate, have we ever discussed the pages in the front of our logbook? There are 27 pages of instructions in the front of every logbook we get. Now, that shows some of the complexity, and there's over 600 pages in our legislation. So it's not something that you could pick up glibly and go, oh, I know all about this, and get out on the road and do your job. You've got to look at all of these things, and some of them are very simple, but some of them are very complex, and of course, you know, we're dealing with everybody that wants it done yesterday. The customer wants it picked up. The transport company wants it delivered. The bloke who wants it sold for him, he wants it delivered on time. And, of course, we're the poor buggers swinging at the end of that chain of responsibility that was supposed to take some of that responsibility off us and move it up to those people that put all those pressures on us.
Highway Advocates, how do people find them?
Mate, I haven't got a number in front of me, but if they look up for them on Facebook or on the net, Highway Advocates, they've only just started up. They launched at the Brisbane Truck Show. We had them on our stand at National Road Freighters stand at the Truck Show. And look, they're actually in Dubbo tomorrow. I believe they've got a possible meeting at West Wyalong and Narendra on the way home. They've got a couple of cases to do for drivers. They have been effective so far. And we do hope that, obviously, if you've done the wrong thing, if you're guilty, well, then if the fine you think is reasonable, that's one thing. But some of our fines are so unrealistic, have very little to do with road safety, but considering our level of exposure and the fines that you see for some of the people that have done some really heinous things, ours make them look paltry, mate. So if you don't think you've had a fair go, give them a call.
Okay, there you are. If they're in Dubbo today... is it today or tomorrow? Because today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, I know. People get confused. If they're in, if you can find somebody, get them to contact me because I'll talk to them on the radio and find out what they're all about. Rod Hanafy is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. These speeding fines, getting back to these, because I do want to include people who drive cars in our segment because we all have to share the roads. I was speaking to our car expert during the week. And we were talking about James Ward's his name. James is the editor of caradvice.com.au. He said that most speedos are calibrated below actually what the speed limit is. So James was saying, and he has a lot of sympathy for motorists, but he was saying that if you get caught and booked doing 88 in a 80 zone, chances are you were probably doing 91, 92. He said most car speedos are calibrated 5 below. So if you get caught doing 85, you are probably doing 90. You with me?
I am. I understand that, yes.
Now, I don't know. A truck speedo's that inaccurate, or are they? How are truckies' speedos calibrated?
Mate, it does depend on the truck and how it's set up. Most of them are electronic now. But look, the difference between a new set of tyres and a worn set of tyres, because we have a lot of tread, we get a couple hundred thousand kilometres out of our drive tyres, that's about 2 kilometres an hour. So, yes, the trucks are electronically set, you know, that we have speed limiters. We can't exceed 100. Mm. There is no manufacturer now or a workshop that will deliberately set your truck up above that speed, because they know as soon as they get caught, they're going to be after them. But we look, I actually have 5 speedos in my truck. If I think about it quickly, the one on the dash, it is not as accurate. It's probably about 1 to 2 K out. But then I have GPS, which records it. I have the tracking for the onboard scales that records it. I have a display on a system called Mobileye. I have another one on the engine management system. And they all, within about 1 kilometre and 1 kilometre each of the other, are pretty accurate. And the one thing I do say, mate, how often have you been down the Hume and you've seen that speed reader there at Barnawathet, just south of Albury, the big overhead one?
Me?
Hmm.
I haven't.
I haven't. Oh, there used to be also one coming out of Melbourne. It doesn't work now.
I haven't travelled on those roads for years, so I haven't.
Ah, well, there you go. And look, that one's been set up there. And yet, even though it's there as an advisory sign, there's about 2 kilometres an hour difference between the left-hand lane and the right-hand lane.
But the bottom line is, if your speedo is sitting right on 100, chances are you're going to be doing about 97, 98. You're going to be under. So if you stick to your speedo on 100, you should be okay. Listen, I've got to take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. If you want to talk to Rod Hanafy about road safety, please feel free to give us a call. We're here for Power Pollen. How's your Power Pollen? How's your Nature Bee going, Rod? Is it helping you recover?
Going along well, mate. Yes, I think it's certainly contributing.
Yeah, of course it is. Power Pollen. Rod's been on. How long have you been on your Power Pollen now?
Oh, probably be 18 months now.
18 months. And I put you onto it.
You certainly did.
And there you are. Power Pollen. You want more energy. You want to sleep better. You want to stay alert without the caffeine, without the sugar. This is your product, folks. And you can whack the winter right in the mouth. Fight the dreaded lurgy. Power up with Power Pollen. Energy all day, every day. And fortification this winter. 6 months supply, $129.95 plus delivery. Select the special and receive a bonus pack of hot menthol and honey lozenges. Use the code EOFY10. End of financial year 10 and check it out for $10 off your order. This is for a limited time only. Powerpollen.com.au. It's Wednesday, which means Rod Hanafy joins us. Rod is the national president of the Road Freighters Association. He is happy to take calls. Rod, Scott's been waiting on for you. G'day, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Talk to Rod.
Hey, Rod. How are you, man?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Hey, good. Yeah, good, mate. Hey, just a couple of things. One first. Like, as you know, with this backloading thing, mate, they want to try and fix this industry. They need to start with the money side, I think. Like, you go up one way, you know yourself, you come back for about half of what you go up for. They want companies to sort of, you know, have good gear and pay the right wages and do everything like that. But, you know, it's 2021, mate. How come they're still paying less than half to come back than what you get going up?
Well, unfortunately, as you well know, mate, there's an imbalance of freight on some routes. And it's not the fact that they're paying it. It's the fact that someone's accepting it. Now, everybody knows that's exactly the problem.
Just for non-truckies, Rod, explain what Scott's talking about.
Okay, for example, you get paid a full rate to go from Melbourne to Brisbane.
Yeah.
But there is far more freight goes Melbourne to Brisbane than there is Brisbane to Melbourne. So all of those trucks that have carted freight up, they're all looking for a load to go back, to get another load to go back up.
Removalists, case in point.
Oh, well, anybody, mate, even general freight, there is far more comes out of Victoria. And then what happens, all those trucks that want to go back. So someone says, oh, look, I know that there are more trucks than freight. I will offer you this load, but you have to do it at this price. And unfortunately, someone will always take it at a cheaper price rather than go back empty. But all that does is bring the value back down, because no one gets paid to run empty in this business unless you've got, you know, really good customers or you have particular vehicles, like, for example, livestockers. They can't turn around and put a load of general on going the other way, but they've got to take the livestock crate back to get more cattle. People that cart general freight.
Sorry, mate. There's a lot of more manufacturing happening in Queensland, for argument's sake, now, too, because they're cotton onto the cheaper freight. So you're better to, you know, cart your, you know, have your manufacturing in Queensland and run it south a lot cheaper than it is to have it in Sydney and run it north. You know what I mean?
But, well, yes, but then you're defeating your own argument because then, of course, they're expecting to get it cheap. And that then brings the rates down. And as you say, you must have a certain amount of income to run a truck, to do it safely, to pay your driver, and to be able to maintain it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. There's one more point too, mate, I'll quickly make. Why is it that you're in a yard and you have an accident in your truck, work cover's called, but if you drive out on the street and have an accident, work cover's not called? They do just start deeming our trucks work sites, mate. You know what I mean?
And that scares them senseless because as soon as they deem, well, they can't deem our truck a work site, but they can deem the road.
In a depot, it is, but you drive out on the street and hit somebody, work cover isn't called.
Because...
You know, where every truck accident, they don't get called.
And what would happen if you imagine, mate, let's say you're driving down the road and work cover get involved. Now, if we can turn around and say that road isn't up to a standard, that there were other factors, for example, that they hadn't trained motorists to share the road with us. That opens an absolute minefield. And I agree, the road should be our workplace. Those things should be treated as workplace accidents because then we'd actually get something done to fix some of our roads and we'd have more done to educate motorists about sharing them with us. And that would make everyone on the road safer.
Scotty, thank you for waiting on and some very, very good points and well communicated. Really appreciate you listening and phoning.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Scott. Dez is at Ipswich. Are you, Dez?
G'day.
Yeah, g'day. Talk to Rod. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rod. I got pulled up at Brocklehurst, which is just north of Dubbo. On Tuesday. Mm-hmm. By the RMS, do a logbook check.
Yep.
He's turned around and turned around and said to me, one police officer handed out 37 tickets in 2 days because guys forgot to tick the standard or the BFM.
Yep.
And his words were, that was going over the top. Now,
yes.
You know, That is a problem and a half.
Well, it is, mate. And then I'd like to know if any of those blokes got those tickets, what they're planning to do with it, because, of course, theoretically, that is a clerical error. It's only a $175 fine. Depending on how the way the bloke's written the ticket up, it could be a much higher fine than that. And, again, it's we're not allowed to make mistakes. How many times have you heard of someone that's got a ticket, they've got the wrong date on it, they've got the wrong prime mover, they've got something else wrong on it, and you complain to them and you say, but you got the ticket wrong. Oh, well, we'll just fix that. But we're not allowed to make those mistakes without an enormous penalty. And, mate, anybody that's got one of those tickets, I certainly recommend that they talk to Highway Advocates before they pay any fines.
Highway Advocates. Did you hear, Des, did you hear Rod talking about them? They're there to help you.
Yep.
Highway Advocates, look them up. I should have an email, a website, and possibly even a phone number for you before next Wednesday, okay?
Yep. One more point, Rod.
Yes,
what's happening about Tap Hill? Have you been up it lately?
Explain that for the rest of Australia, please.
That's, what would it be, Tap Hill? Right about 35 k's
north of Yulgandra, on the Neil Highway, a little bit more, yep.
Yep. They've put a band-aid over that, and it's all torn up. This is the second time it's happened.
Over the new overtaking lane they're building.
Over the new overtaking lane, it's just starting to go up. They've got it all barricaded off up there.
I haven't been up there since they started building it. Obviously, it's been a long time coming, and the one thing I will say to you is that the area that they're using as their building site will be retained and kept for us as a breakdown bay, or at least a stopping bay. So that's something that we didn't have before.
That's one of the things I raised about the one south of Peak Hill, mate. They rebuilt that, what, 3 times in 6 months? And the trouble is, we are being charged with being responsible for damaging the roads, and yet when someone goes out and builds them and they do a lousy job, they get paid, and then they get paid to do it again. So we are not getting good value for money, and that's one of the points I want to raise, that we must get someone to watch over that we get good value for the money that we spend on our roads, because it is our workplace.
Des, thank you for your call. Some good points again, and some good callers out there this morning. 133353. I had someone else there for you, and they've just dropped out. Rod Hanafy, thank you for this morning. You will get back to us with Highway Advocates.
I certainly will, and I'm sure one of them would love to have a chat with us.
Okay, because I really want to have a talk with them as well. So, Rod, we'll talk to you next week. Continue with your recuperation.
Thank you, sir.
And your rehabilitation, and keep up your nature be, okay?
Absolutely will, and safe travelling to all out on the highways.
Good on you, and thanks for those callers. Yeah, I had a couple more then, they've just dropped out, which happens, phones drop out. In the meantime, 133353, if you continue, if you want to continue talking road safety issues, happy to do that, but there's plenty on the table this morning.